great to be to gather around the table. It provides a visual reminder of the love of God. And it shows us the value God places on each and every one of us, that he would send his son to redeem a people for himself. But I wonder if we don't lose sight of that as we go about our daily lives. It may happen because of our tendency to worry. By a show of hands, how many of us worry? Yes, we all do it. Society today bombards us with things to worry about. We worry about our financial security. We worry about our identity theft. We worry about our health. We worry about our children. And the list goes on. Why, even some people worry about worrying. In our passage today, Jesus commands us not to worry. Do not worry. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, starting in verse 24. Or you could follow along on the screen if they have it. There we go. Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow was thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I started in verse 24 because of verse 25, it has the word therefore, if you have the NIV. Or if you're using the numeric standard, it says, for this reason. When I was at Bethel, I had a professor who said, anytime you're reading your Bible and you see the word therefore, you need to stop and ask yourself, what's it there for? It points you back to what was said before. And what does Jesus say? You cannot serve two masters. If you're going to serve the ruler of this world, then your life will be plagued with worry. But if you are going to serve God, then you have no cause for worry. Three times in this passage, Jesus commands us not to worry. Some translations have, do not be anxious. The word means to worry excessively. The same word is used in Luke. So if you'll keep your finger in Matthew and turn over to Luke chapter 10, Luke 10, starting in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Martha was distracted by all that had to be done, so she missed the most important thing. She was focused on the wrong thing. But Mary figured out what was most important. I wonder how many of us have our focus on the wrong things. And because of it, we worry and we get upset. Back to Matthew. The verb tense of that word gives us a better clue to its meaning. In verses 25 and 34, the tense of the verb is stop worrying. If you are worrying about something, stop it. Don't do it anymore. In verse 31, the tense of the verb is don't start worrying. If you're not worrying, great, don't start. We can find three reasons not to worry from the text. The first reason is because it is unnecessary because of your father. Verse 25, Jesus is talking about what we would call the necessities of life. Not many of us worry about the necessities of life. For the most part, we have enough food to eat. We have enough to drink. And we have something to wear. But if you have a teenage boy in your house, there's never enough to eat. And if you have a teenage girl, there's probably never anything to wear. But in Jesus' day, and for the people listening to him on the mountainside, these were real issues. For food, you either had to raise it, grow it, or you had to work to get money to go to the marketplace and buy it. The hired worker was paid at the end of the day so that he could go and buy food. Leviticus, God tells his people not to keep the wages of the hired man until the morning. Why? Because he needed that money at the end of the day to go and buy food. Water was also an issue. Israel is a semi-arid part of the world. And if there was a drought, then having enough water could become a real issue. And clothing. They didn't have closets full of clothes. Most had only the clothes on their backs. Most of the people living in Israel at this time were poor. And they understood what it was to worry about the necessities of life. Wanting the necessities is normal. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Why shouldn't I worry about having the basics of life? Because of who my Father is. Jesus illustrates this point with some object lessons. First, he points to the birds. I can imagine that Jesus, sitting on the hillside, might have looked up and seen some birds flying by, and he uses it as a way to make his point. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not labor, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns. I've never seen a bird behind a plow, never seen a bird building a barn. Birds don't plant a crop. They don't harvest a crop, and they don't store it away in barns. Why? Because God takes care of them. It's essential to note that this is not an excuse for idleness. The birds are fed by God, but they don't stand around on a branch of a tree waiting for it to come to them. They search for it. They gather insects and worms and seeds. They do this all because God endowed them with an instinct to do so. God has given us gifts and abilities to work, to make money, to provide for our families and our needs. Jesus asks them a question. He asks them if they are worth more than the birds. What he's saying is, says, if God is able to feed the birds, don't you think he'll be able to provide for you? Another issue people worry about is their health. Verse 27, who of you by worrying could add a single hour to your life? Can worrying really do anything to prolong your life? No. People really do worry about their health. We all want to be healthy. We have billion-dollar industries to keep us healthy. We preoccupy ourselves with diet and exercise, with vitamins and supplements. We have gym memberships and exercise equipment. We wear devices to keep track of our steps and our sleep, and they tell us if we've been sitting for too long. All of this to monitor our health. And sometimes behind all of it is the worry. Worry that we'll not live as long. Worry that we won't have a healthy life. Don't get me wrong. We should strive to live a healthy life and eat the right things and exercise. But worrying can't add a single hour to your life. In fact, it might have the opposite effect and take hours away. And then Jesus asks them why they worry about clothes. Again, he uses an object lesson from nature. He points their attention to the lilies of the field. He has them look around where they're sitting. The flowers, the grass, they don't labor or spin. They don't do anything to clothe themselves. Then he says that not even Solomon, with all of his wealth and all the fine clothes he has, he wasn't even closely dressed as well as one of the wildflowers. And he asks them, if God can do that with the grass that's here today and tomorrow is burned up, don't you think he can take care of you? Jesus is talking about fearing that you're not going to have enough, that you're not going to be cared for, that you won't have what you need. But if God takes care of the birds, if he makes the flowers grow, don't you think he is able to care for you? Are they more valuable than you are to him? Your heavenly Father loves you. He'll take care of you. So don't worry. The second reason not to worry is it is uncharacteristic because of your faith. When you worry, you demonstrate a lack of faith. Verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You of little faith. How often have we read that, Jesus saying that to his disciples? Worry should not characterize our life. Faith should. Do you remember the incident when Jesus calmed the storm? He's sleeping in a boat, and a storm comes up, and his disciples are scared to death. They go to him, they wake him up, and they say, "Don't you care if we drowned?" I like how Luke puts it in his account. He says, "Where is your faith?" I almost imagine Jesus kind of waking up, rubbing his eyes, and going, "What? What? What?" And they're like, "We're going to drown! We're going to drown!" And he's like, "Where is your faith?" when life seems out of control, when the storms are raging all around you, be it a financial storm, a medical storm, a relationship storm, whatever. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got this. He says the pagans run after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. You see, worry is for those who don't have God as their Father. Worry is for the faithless, not the faithful. The pagans run after, literally seek with all their might. Their lives are characterized by an endless pursuit of the next best thing, something that will provide meaning to life. Not so the Christian. We have a Father who knows our needs and cares for us and provides for us. Are you going to trust in His goodness? Are you going to have faith that He will take care of you? Where is your faith? What does James say? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Testing of what? Your faith. God allows times of testing, times of trial, to test our faith. And so when you get that cancer diagnosis, are you going to worry or trust God that He will be there for you? If you lose your job or the markets crash and your retirement is gone, are you going to worry or trust God that He will take care of you? Because honestly, worrying about it won't change anything. The real issue is, does my Christian faith affect my view of life and control my view of life? Child of the King, do you trust that He will take care of you? A third reason not to worry is because it is unwise because of your future. Verse 34, Jesus tells us again not to worry. And what are we not to worry about? Tomorrow or the future. People worry because they are concerned about the future. Imagine worrying about something that hasn't happened yet. Sometimes people are immobilized by a fear of tomorrow. Fear is a liar. Fear will tell you that you will not have enough for tomorrow. Fear tells you that you won't be able to handle it. Fear tells you that God can't handle it. Well, God is a God of tomorrow, just like He is the God of today. There is no trial, no storm, no sickness that God can't handle. And if He can take care of you today, He can take care of you tomorrow. Don't fill up your today worrying about the what-ifs of tomorrow. If I spend my time worrying about all the things that might happen, I won't have time to do all the things that God has for me today. We are children of the King. Our future is secure. And even if we lose everything here in this life, it's not going to change what we will get in the next. This world is not our home. So don't worry about material things. Do not worry about future things. God is able to handle whatever you are going through. He knows what you need. He has not left you alone. He loves you and He cares for you. And He has all the resources of eternity at His disposal. Worry is a serious sin. That's right, sin. Some might disagree. But think about this. Is there any greater sin than to distrust God's promised love for us? Worry refuses to know God. It refuses to trust God. It refuses to love God. Worry assaults the character of God. It assaults the promises of God. It assaults the attributes of God. That, friends, is serious sin. So do not worry. Well, then what should I do? Verse 33 gives us the answer. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What should I do? I should seek his kingdom and his righteousness. What does that mean? Simply put, it means get your focus right. Remember Martha and Mary? Martha was worried about many things. None of them mattered. Mary was focused on Jesus. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, what does he say? Everything else will be provided. God knows your needs. Don't spend time worrying about them. Rather, spend time seeking Jesus, and then watch how God provides. And God will provide. He provides in different ways for different people. And I cannot judge the way God chooses to provide. The text does not say that God will give you everything you want. He will give you what you need. My idea of what I need and God's idea of what I need might be different. But I cannot claim that he loves me less because I have less. If that's how we think, our focus is wrong. When our focus is right, we view the world, the way we view the world changes. And when our view of the world changes, our view of our needs changes. And because he gives more to some, he also expects more from them. So do not worry. Rather, do what the old hymn says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Father God, we do worry. We worry about many things, most of which don't matter. Father, help us each day to trust you, to trust that you will provide what we need, to trust that you will be there to take care of us, to trust that you know everything, and we can have faith that no matter what happens to us, you will always be there. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm Tom Nelson. I'm one of the elders, and I want to lead us in a time of prayer. You'll see most of the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin, but I've got a couple of announcements I just want to bring to light here. In your bulletins, you'll see connection cards that are for you to fill out for all of you, and especially for our visitors today. We just want to welcome you. Please fill them out. They'll go in the offering plate as the ushers bring that around. And if you've got a prayer concern, please fill it out. We really are, as elders, we're diligent in praying for those things, and we just want you to let us know. And also after the service, there'll be some of us up here if you want to have prayer. You'll see in the bulletin there's an insert. I don't think there's an insert. I think it's just an announcement on the caregiver support seminar that's tomorrow evening at Elim. It starts at 6:30. And I know a lot of people our age are just, we're in the season where we're taking care of parents, loved ones that need care. And so they need you to RSVP, though, and that address to RSVP is in your bulletin, in that little blurb that's there today. Do it, Julie says, by today, so you better. It just helps. It looks like it helps you to be organized and prepared to deal with this. So with that, let's go to a time of prayer. And again, as we begin this Advent season, I was just reminded this morning as I was reading through Luke's account in the first chapter of Mary's response. Her humble response. And thinking about Jerry's message on worry, I think worry and pride go together, and a humble attitude just knows what's been given for us, the sacrifice that's been given for us, and it just diminishes worry. So as we go to prayer, let's just be mindful of that. Oh God, as we come before you today, how grateful we are. How grateful we are as we ponder this Advent season. You are the light of good, not to be living in darkness. We look to you, God. We trust in your Son, Jesus, Lord, and there is light in our lives. God, help us in these days ahead to respond to you in the way that Mary did. Who am I, Lord, that your Spirit should live within me? It's all because of you, Father, your Son, Jesus. God, we have so many things to be grateful for. God, we just put our trust in you. And God, too, we want to commit those people to you that are having difficulties in life right now, with physical difficulties, sickness, those, Lord, who have lost loved ones. God, we pray for comfort for them. We're grateful, Lord, that Charlie and Sandy can spend the time with the Lees in Japan in these coming weeks. Bless them, Father. God, we lift up Peter to you as he began chemo this past week. Might you just touch his body and bring healing, Father. For Faith, for Nancy, for Elroy, for Russ, for Kathy, Jim, for Heidi, for Deb. Oh, God, some of these people have been struggling for a long time, God, with just chronic pain. We just pray, Father, you would touch them today. You would encourage them today. Lift them up, Father, to you. God, we thank you for our missionaries and for the way that you provide for them, and especially, Lord, as we focus on Don and Sharon today, we thank you for the provision and the answered prayer on Don's last trip to Indonesia, and the ways, God, that you are revealing yourself through the translation of the word. We praise you, God, for how you are at work in this unreached people. And we lift up this town of Palu as they struggle to recover from the devastation. Oh God, we pray for just a healing and rebuilding in this part of the world. Father, we just look to you as we consider and as the ushers come forward today.
God, we desire to give back to you. You have given us so much. And God, as we remember how Mary responded to you, God, we're reminded that the only people whose soul can truly magnify you are people with an attitude like Elizabeth and Mary. People who acknowledge that they're a lowly estate and they're overwhelmed by the love of their magnificent God. Might that be us? Father, we trust in you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a reminder that there's fellowship time upstairs. I'd love to have you all join us, and I've heard rumor that there's special Christmas treats up there. No donut holes today. So, as we leave, let's be mindful this week and throughout the week. Let's just find ourselves repeating as Mary did in Luke chapter 1. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. We praise you, Father. You are dismissed.
Absent from flesh, oh blissful thought, what joy this moment brings. Freed from the blame my sin has brought, from pain and death and its stings.